Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. on the 6th of April, 2020. And I'm opening up in the Talmud of Emmanuel on Chapter 7. And what I'm going to cover here, it describes something that I guess I've fallen into over the years, which is a good thing, and that's memorizing certain passages from Billy's teaching and then speaking it back to myself. So we covered this briefly on the Saturday show. I thought I'd go over it a little bit again. A determining consideration, also edification, corresponds to a meditation in the form of conscious constructive encouragement to oneself in order to realize an idea, a thought, a feeling, a deed, an action, a need, or a desire through one's own power and initiative. So if you feel your negative thoughts coming on and you notice the negative feelings, which can eventually lead to the manifestation of negative reality. So we want to nip that in the bud, and sometimes what you can do is you can run back either a wish dream, some experience that you had that was pleasant, kind of neutral in nature. Another thing you can do is this, what we, I guess, call response to consideration or edification, which is kind of what I do, is kind of speak to myself. So I would do something like, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. So it's like a meditation that you're doing. It's a encouragement to yourself, and it allows you to realize the concept or the idea of neutral positive thinking. Let me continue here. In the case of determining consideration, one's own consciousness is edifyingly spoken to in such a wise that it concentratively aligns to certain ideas, thoughts, feelings, to health, and deeds and actions by which are brought to fruition from one's own motivation, own will, own initiative, and power. So by doing this, you're aligning, you're concentratively aligning, I guess, your consciousness to certain ideas, thoughts, and feelings. For example, one thing I quoted today was, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation, and creation radiates love, so that every person has the opportunity to come up against the radiating love of creation. Anyway, those passages on love have another way of aligning your thinking. This means, however, that a human being, when he or she speaks directly to his or her own consciousness, so that's what I'm doing. I'm speaking to my own consciousness now and getting my mind's eye on the big picture of creation and creation's love. In order to achieve something, so I'm trying to get my, it's almost like meditation. I'm gathering my thoughts together, holds determinative consideration, his or her very own conscious energy. So you're you're kind of using your own consciousness energy into its power to realize this in a determining way, such that he or she achieves what she wants to achieve with his or her own effort and in his or her own responsibility. So you're just like a meditation, you're speaking to your own consciousness. For example, love is the highest principle of all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So it's a beautiful passage, as Billy wrote in Love Letter 27, which are very good to speak back to yourself. And if you speak these words back to yourself, it's kind of a almost like a meditation. It's a constructive encouragement to yourself. And it has a good way of just getting rid of the bad thoughts. Because remember, the thoughts come out, the feelings come out of the thoughts. So when you start with bad thoughts, you will eventually get to bad feelings. And bad feelings are a step away from manifesting a bad reality. This means that the human being is, in every respect, his or her own lord and master over him or herself, and that he or she determines anything and everything concerning him or herself. And I know a lot of people would have a problem with that. But what the Meyer information teaches is personal responsibility. And like it's the one passage that I've just been quoting lately from the Might of Thoughts says, the life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. So that's one I've memorized to keep reminding myself. So no matter what thoughts, feelings, and desires he or she cultivates, no matter what deeds he or she carries out, and no matter what acts he or she commits. So I just like this is page 136 of the Talmud of Emmanuel, and maybe I'll read just a little bit in chapter 8, which talks about the healing of the leper who was sick in his inner nature. So the Meyer information says we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The spiritual consciousness is the part of you that never dies. And if you pay attention, the spiritual consciousness will send you quiet impulses of wisdom. And these quiet impulses of wisdom are direction determining. So you will get guidance from these impulses. So this story here we pick up with Emmanuel, and he's descending from the mountain, and there was a small crowd of people that followed behind him. And a leprous person who became sick in his inner nature, his psyche, came and knelt before him and said, Master, if you will, you can make me clean from the evil inner nature of my thoughts. Now, this is very interesting. This poor guy's got a disease, and he knows, or he feels strongly, evidently, that it's caused by his own thoughts. The thoughts cause the feelings, and then the feelings will make the thoughts and the feelings working together will manifest certain things, particularly in your health. And if you're thinking, if you have very negative, weak thoughts, then you can have a lack of health. Your thoughts are very powerful. We just don't realize how powerful our thoughts are. And I'm so glad that Billy has written this book, The Might of the Thoughts, because it teaches us to nurture our thoughts if they're healthy. If you have healthy thoughts, think about that. Same thing. Hold on to that mental image. If you have a good thought, something that produces good feelings, hold on to that thought. Because as you nurture your thoughts, you strengthen your thoughts, and you clarify your thoughts, and this can lead to health, or health for your loved ones. Or you'll get ideas, you'll have enthusiasms for working. It will manifest in your striving. Let me continue here. And behold, a leper, a leprous one, who had become sick in his inner nature, came and knelt before him and said, "Master, if you will, you can make me clean from my evil inner nature of my thoughts." And Emmanuel stretched out his hand and touched him and spoke long and deeply, suggestively to him. Then he said, "I will do it and help you. Be cleansed from the evil of your inner nature, just as you want it, and have the certainty that you will be healed." And immediately the sick man was cleansed from his evil inner nature of his thoughts. The evil inner nature of the leper was based on a simple thought and feeling based psychical. So he was, I don't want to lose my spot here on another area what I'm looking at, but anyway, the leper had a disorder and he could not cope with the sickness of his leprosy. Solely the consciousness based will of the one sick in his thoughts and the feelings, that is in his psyche, was the decisive factor to use his own energies and powers and to generate self-healing powers and bring them to application. I believe this so much, that your thoughts, especially if you can hold on to a really good wish dream, you know, experience that you may have just had that was very, very pleasant, and just hold on to that thought, those images. At the same time, only the necessary knowledge and ability on part of Emmanuel was needed to bring the sick man to reason and to the right thoughts and feelings. And this is what I like so much about this book, because it integrates so well with the Might of the Thoughts book, and it teaches us that our own thoughts and feelings have the ability to change, tremendously change things in our life, but in ways that you would think are impossible. Your thoughts can do things that are astounding. Okay. So we have the creation nature, the spiritual consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And we have the inner nature. And our goal is to build up the inner nature in line with the creation nature. It is also certain that whoever has built up his or her inner nature with the impulses of the innermost creational nature and has caused it to blossom can love him/herself in all honesty and deference without thereby falling into negative and bad states. But connected with that is knowing oneself. Consequently, the effective facts of the newly formed and creationally directed inner nature must therefore first be recognized and accepted before a practical and respectful love can come about for it. However, once this is done, and once the human being is true to himself and is kind and wise, then soon a fundamental harmony grows in him or her, which along with love also contains joy, peace, and inner freedom. Now listen to this. If the human remains separated from himself, So there's a separation between the material nature and the spiritual nature. The inner nature, the material nature, needs to conform to the innermost nature. However, if the human being remains separated from himself, herself, by disregarding his inner nature and not forming it such that it conforms with the creation of nature laws or recommendations, then he separates himself or herself, so to speak, from his own life, because as a result of not developing himself or herself higher, he or she distances him or herself from real life, that is to say, from his or her own real self. So your spiritual consciousness, you can think of as your real self. I got all these books out, and I need about 4 more bookmarks, I think, just to keep track of these similar but different trains of thought. And if you're new to this show, and I just had a caller on there for a little while, I should have answered the call, I guess, but I felt that I needed to continue with what I was talking about. Billy Meyer is in his 80s. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland. They call it Hinterschmidrudi. Hinter means behind in the German. So he's behind a little village called Schmidrudi, which is like 35 minutes east of Zurich. 1943 or so, when Billy was a little boy, he started to get telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human named Svath, who was from a world that they called Era. Now, Era was terraformed about 230,000 years ago when people came from Lyra Vega. They were Lyrians who were escaping Lyra Vega. And the leader was a guy named Asael. And Asael held the title of Ishwish, or King of Wisdom. And he led, I think, thousands of ships and probably tens of thousands of people to a solar system called the Pleiaren system. And there were 3 planets there that they ended up terraforming. And they actually made trips to the Earth, these Pleiaren people, and brought back plants and animals from the Earth. So the world that they live on became extremely Earth-like. I think it's just has a little bit more gravity than Earth, maybe slightly bigger, has a much thicker atmosphere. We on the Earth had a tremendously thick, highly oxygenated atmosphere when the planet was younger and healthier, before we have done so much damage to it. And that's one of the reasons that the dinosaurs could grow so large, was because of this thick concentration of O2, but we don't have that anymore in the same way. The Pleiaren, they developed very spiritually, and they studied nature, and they learned what they called the creational natural laws. And the first law being love, again, no real order to these, love, a brotherly love, a family love. It's called effective love. It's really not about romance. It's the philosophy to live and help live. But it's very profound and very, a very, very beautiful concept. Another creational natural law is striving. And striving is work. It's evolving your consciousness, it's making yourself smarter, it's exercising your body. It's the organization of your home. It's your day job, if you have one. It's any hobbies that are literally expanding. If they continue with them, they often expand into like second vocations or second livelihoods. The care for people or animals or plants that depend on you, all of these are part of the striving. And we should always follow the law of striving. It produces your sense of a life that has meaning. And if you cut back on your striving, if you're not there where you need to be with your striving, you'll have sorrow and grief and all aimlessness, purposelessness, all of these bad feelings. There's nothing else that will substitute the striving either. We are programmed to strive. It's our nature. A person is a lazy personality, their inner nature is lazy, their spiritual nature isn't. Their innermost creational nature isn't. And the innermost nature will send these quiet impulses of wisdom. And the inner nature, the material consciousness, eventually has to conform to these impulses. And if it doesn't, you'll have misery, sadness, grief, and this can lead to addictions. Many people in our society are trying to escape reality rather than improving it. And it's difficult in striving because there will always be a negative pole, something that interrupts the striving, something that makes things harder. And none of us really want to have things harder. But it's kind of one of the creational natural laws in the sense that there'll be an obstacle to the striving. So we learned about effective love. That's a creational law. Striving is a creational law. Another creational natural law is the law of harmony. The being in your thinking, neutral, positive, equalized, and balanced. And that means you're not sad, you're not thinking negative thoughts necessarily. You're also not really, maybe a little positive, but not wildly positive, not over-exaggeratingly positive. For example, this would be an example of being in harmony. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, but I know life sends me difficult challenges from time to time, even on a regular basis. So that's what you might call a negative inclusion that produces the balance, and we're all searching to hold on to the balance. There's another creational natural law called structure. I think we call it system and order, or structure and order, system and order, that deals with trying to do the same thing at the same time every day, but not looking at it like a drudgery. In other words, build a structure in your life. And you might have more than one structure that you follow, but have a structure in your life that you can follow so you can have repeatable outcomes. In other words, you maybe work out at a certain time every day. You might practice a musical instrument at a certain time every day. You might walk your dogs at a certain time every day. I'm not saying it has to be monotonous, but there should be a structure like that. So those are three important creational natural laws, or four actually, I believe. Love, striving, the law of harmony, and the law of system and order. If you can focus on those, they will help your life very much. Now, sometimes the body, our bodies, are said to react to thoughts, particularly thoughts which are tended and nurtured. And so you're developing thoughts, you're making them stronger. Nurture means to encourage the growth or the development of something. And when nurturing becomes habitual, it's done like a habit. Remember, I was talking about having a certain amount of things memorized so you can self-edify. And we were studying that passage in the Talmud of Emmanuel. It's almost like a meditation. You're saying to yourself, I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. So that's you're correcting your thinking by doing that. So the bad things, see, that's all conscious, but there are unconscious things, which is habitual behavior or a fixed way of thinking, which you might call old habits, which are hard to break. So we want to repeat these new good habits, these new good way of thinking, and imprint them on our neural pathways. Now, for us to learn something new, an electrical signal has to jump across a gap called a synapse. And if the electrical signal jumps across the gap, then it can continue its journey. So the gap between two brain cells is tiny. However, the first time that signal crosses from one brain cell to another requires the most effort. And the first trip across the gap is the hardest. But as we move across the gap more and more, it becomes easier and easier. We're repeating. We're learning through repetition. We're strengthening these pathways in our brain. Repetition is one of the best ways to strengthen the pathways between the synapses in your brain. That's why I encourage people to memorize something. And it can be one little phrase like, the life always forms according to the thoughts. And you build that passageway in your mind, those synapses. So a synapse plays a role in the formation of memory. And it can lead to what's called long-term potentiation. And the long-term potentiation is a persistent strengthening of those synapses based on patterns of activity. So the signal transmission goes between two neurons, and LTP is the abbreviation for long-term potentiation. So that's what's going on in the brain. I encourage myself, encourage others to repeat. And Figu Bolton 35 says, the human learns through constant repetition. Respectively, constant drops make a hole in the stone. So anyway, I know, gosh, we're about out of time here. We've been covering the inner nature in the might of thoughts. We also talked about, I guess you would call it, speaking to your own consciousness in the Talmud of Emmanuel. Have a good day. If you're in the Midwest, get out there and enjoy some of that beautiful sun. We'll talk to you later. Have a good afternoon/evening.